It's time for the Josie Show. Tonight's guest, recording artist and country music writer, Gary Bender. Plus, safety expert, Linda Criddle. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Passantino. And now here's the host of the Josie Show, Josie Passantino.
It's Josie. Welcome to the Josie Show. Welcome everyone listening live, and a shout out for those that are also in the chat room on our website. So welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight is our 75th episode. Woo! So glad you could all make it tonight. We will celebrate our 75th episode with a couple of great guests tonight. First, let's make sure everyone is able to hear us. Let me know in the chat room if you're able to hear us, because that's always an important thing, that you could hear us. Top priority. So we have a great show for you guys tonight. Here's what we will do in the next hour or so. Tonight we have two amazing guests. First we have singer-songwriter Gary Bender, and then we will speak to internet safety expert Linda Criddle from Look Both Ways. Then we'll bring you some more crazy items sold off of eBay, your favorite segment. So stay tuned for the whole show. It's live, so you never know what could happen. Really quick, though, I am going to bring out one of my producers, Tina, for an important service announcement. You there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
Great.
great. Excited about the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But first, on a serious note here, I wanted to share with you that we asked everybody please to be aware. There is an Amber Alert out for the cousin of one of our former guests, who is a lovely, dear friend, Whitney Duncan. Whitney's cousin's name is Holly Bobo, and she was kidnapped from her home. Anyone with information, please call the Sheriff's Department at 731-852-3714. Again, that number is 731-852-3714. Our thoughts and prayers are with Holly, Whitney, and their families. You can get more information as the Amber Alert is posted on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, everybody. Now let's get ready for our show.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And once again, thoughts and prayers with Whitney Duncan, Holly, and the family. Now we also want to give a quick shout-out tonight to Angela. I understand that she's a new listener to the show tonight. So welcome, Angela. Glad you're here. And hope you enjoy the show. First, we have an amazing guest, Gary Bender, who is joining us. And it looks like he is here. So everyone, please welcome Gary Bender. Hello, Gary, you there?
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Super excited to be speaking with you. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm excited to be speaking with you as well.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's get started. So how old were you when you knew you wanted to be a singer and songwriter?
I was probably 8 or 9. I was... I got casted as a solo singer in my fourth grade Christmas play, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. I sang "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree," and it was one of those moments where I got off stage and there was 300 people just screaming and clapping and having a good time, and I was like, wow, I want to do this all the time. So after that, it was I still did sports and I still did all that stuff, but music was pretty much my main priority. Got a guitar. I was learning how to play some songs, and then from there just started writing music. Been music ever since.
Definitely, and it stayed with you ever since.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. And how did you get started in the music business?
Just working. I got lucky. I've been in countless numbers of bands over the years, and I started getting recognition from other peers and other bands, and from there I started just playing shows, and from there I went to studios with great producers, and then I just started touring, and things just kind of took off once I started touring, because you got to do the legwork if you want to get out there. So started touring, and eventually I had met a friend of mine who's now my manager, and he's kind of taking me under his wing and is helping me along the way.
Very, very cool. And for people who don't know, can you tell our listeners a little about the genres that you sing?
Yeah, I guess I consider myself a singer-songwriter. When I was younger, I was very rooted in pop punk and punk rock and stuff like that. I was influenced greatly by bands like Blink-182, New Found Glory, Green Day. Like, those are the bands that, like, made me pick up a guitar and want to start writing songs. As I've gotten older now, my focus has kind of shifted and kind of changed. And now I write kind of, like, pop rock songs. I usually stick to, like, an acoustic guitar. I try to, like, just, like, really, like, catchy, fun, like, pop rock songs.
Absolutely, things that the audience can really get into. Definitely.
Yeah, I write songs for myself first and foremost. It's very therapeutic. It's just like what I do, and I'm extremely lucky and extremely blessed to have like people like actually understand like where I'm coming from and like want to know like what songs are about and to find out like you know that they can connect with things that have gone on in my life. So it's always a trip. It's always really cool to know that like your music can actually touch or like help people.
Absolutely, and that's the most important thing about music is that it's relatable, and your music is definitely that, so I think everyone should check it out.
Oh, thank you very much. Very sweet of you.
Anytime. I love it. And growing up, who would you say were your biggest musical influences?
Definitely like bands like Blink-182, Green Day, Jimmy Eat World. I loved Jimmy Eat World when I was younger. My influences have shifted a little bit more now. Like, now to this day, John Mayer is, like, the man. He's like,
oh, yeah.
He's, like, phenomenal on every possible level. His songwriting, his voice, his amazing guitar playing, all those things are just so appealing. So an artist like that is now someone that I would consider, like, an influence. And then there's also other bands. Like, there's a band called The Spill Canvas who has a singer-songwriter named Nick Thomas, who's phenomenal. He writes some of the best love songs I think I've ever heard. They're just phenomenal. So if you don't know the band, check out the band The Spill Canvas. They're phenomenal. And then other artists like Chris Allen, who's actually one of the American Idol winners from a few years back. His record is absolutely wonderful. And I actually had the chance to meet him and hang out with him one night. And it was kind of surreal because, like, I was there, like, watching him on TV every single night, and then I got to, like, hang out with him, like, at a Z100 party one time, and it was insane, and that record's great, too. So artists like that are, like, now, like, who I try to, like, you know, draw inspiration from.
Definitely. And you yourself, you've shared the stage with many, many artists. Can you tell us about those experiences?
Yeah, I've gotten really lucky to be able to share the stage with some really cool artists. Like, I've played with Ryan Cabrera now a few times, and that dude's crazy. He's just a fun time. Like, he's one of the craziest dudes ever. He just likes to party, and he sings his songs on stage, and then he does his own thing. He's a really, really down-to-earth, really, really nice guy. He has, like, no, like, rock star, like, mentality. And then I've played with other bands, like, my friend, his name is Shane Henderson. He's in a band called Promise of Redemption. I've gotten to play with, like I said, and mentioned earlier, The Spill Canvas, who's phenomenal. My friend Ryan plays in a band called Rookie of the Year. And then I've gone on tour with some bands called Houston Calls, Holiday Parade, The Pilot. There's a lot Hidden in Plain View. Like, a lot of, it's kind of all over the map because some of those bands are, like, you know, solo artists and some of them are, like, rock and roll bands. But I've been very fortunate to be able to share the stage with an eclectic group of different kind of bands over the years.
I think that is so, so cool. And also I want to mention, you're working on your next album, which I think is so cool. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, totally. New record is, I've demoed about, I want to say, 4 or 5 songs at another studio, and I also have, like, a home studio in my house that I demo songs on. I'm writing every single day. A lot's been going on in my life lately, so I've definitely been able to put pen to paper a lot lately. I hope to be in the studio with a really good producer and a really good friend of mine named Rob Freeman. He works out of a studio called Pilot Studios in Boonton. And he's done a lot of songs, and he's worked with me a lot in the past, and I really want to get back and record a new EP with Rob, because he brings out the best songwriter in me, so I look forward to it.
Very, very cool. And we actually are lucky enough to have a couple of your songs tonight that we just love to play. Actually, right now I'm going to play your song titled Undeniably right now. Then we will come back on the line and chat a little bit about it. So, everyone, here is Undeniably by Gary Bender. That was Undeniably by Gary Bender. We're speaking to him right now. I love that song. That was so good.
Thanks so much. a lot.
I love it. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, sure. In all honesty, that song was one of the easiest songs I got to write in a long time. It was written about a year and a half ago, actually. Just like any other song, I was downstairs in my basement where I write a lot of my songs, and I had like a lot of like lines and like a lot of ideas, and it just came out really, really easily, really, really, really natural. It was about like a relationship that I was in, as a lot of my songs are usually about a girl that I cared very, very much about, and I don't know, the feelings were so strong, and the relationship was so good that it just kind of came out in the song, and it's very, very easy to write, and I'm actually very proud of that song. Those are usually the ones that you don't need to like put a lot of thought or effort into it, and those are usually your best songs, the ones that kind of come effortlessly.
Absolutely, I agree, and you should be very proud of that song. And you know what I was thinking? A music video. Do you have any plans for a music video for that song? I think that would be so cool.
In all honesty, I would love to do one for that song. There was talks about it a while ago. I had a crew come down, and they actually wrote a treatment and like wrote a concept for it, which was really, really cool. It was also during the time when I was moving, so schedules kind of got jumbled around, and I was also going back to the studio. So the recording and wound up taking precedent over the actual music video, but if I ever got the opportunity to, yeah, I would love to do a music video for something like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've always wondered with, you know, songwriters, can you tell us a little bit about your songwriting process?
Yeah, I do things really backwards, believe it or not. And it's so funny because I talk to my other musicians and songwriters and whatnot. I usually write lyrics before I write music, which is very, very backwards. Most people have a melody in mind, or a riff, or some kind of like song before they actually put the lyrics to it. But I've always prided myself on being like a songwriter. So I write lyrics, and I'll record either lines or words that I don't want to forget like immediately. So I literally have books and books and books and books of basically what I guess you would consider either like poetry or just like random words. But yeah, I usually write lyrics, and then I put it to a melody or I put it to a song, because the lyrics are what is really going to drive a song, I've always kind of felt. Because if you've got pretty words, it's pretty easy to put it to a pretty melody.
Absolutely. I agree. We actually have another great song of yours to play tonight called Aces High. And then I'm excited to hear it. And then can you tell us the story behind that song after we listen to it?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So here is Aces High by Gary Bender. Hold on.
No worries.
There we go.
There it is.
Time to breathe.
And that was Aces High by Gary Vender. Can you tell us a little bit about the story behind this song?
Yeah, sure. Aces High was a song that I will always, for a long time now, I've related love and relationships to gambling, because you never know like what you're going to get. It's kind of a crapshoot, you know. It's a kind of luck of the draw kind of thing. You know, you can wish for something and you can want it so badly, but, you know, love's a gamble. You put yourself out there to either fall in love and make it work, or you're going to put yourself out there and you're going to get hurt, you know. So to me, it was like a really cool way of just being able to, like, relate one thing to another. And that song was just basically about, like, the beginning of a relationship, like, where it's like, you know, don't give up, don't give in, I don't want to lose it all before it even begins. It was, I was young in this relationship, and this person was pulling away, like, right at the beginning of a relationship. And it was weird because I saw so much potential in it. And I was like, well, you know, why do you want to give up so early? We haven't even, like, you know, gotten our full a full chance at it yet. So to me, it was like gambling, and I wanted to, like, write a song relating it to that. So there's, like, lines that, like our love is a cut up above the rest, kind of like cutting a deck of cards. Like, there's, like, a lot of, like, little stuff like that in there that I just wanted to, like, you know, focus on and try to relate, like, love and relationships to the gambling.
Absolutely. And once again, your songs are very much relatable, and that's always important for a song. And that's why I think people should check out your music. And where could people, you know, buy or, you know, purchase your music?
New record is actually going to be coming out on iTunes shortly. I've been waiting to release the new record just because I've been basically building up a collection of songs. I didn't want to just, like, put out, like, a 3-song sampler or, like, a 2-song sampler. I wanted an actual record for people to be able to, like, actually take time and, like, indulge in and actually, like, you know, like, hear a decent amount of collection of songs. So as of right now, it's in the works, but I think that I won't release it until the new songs are actually recorded.
Sounds great. I'm very excited to be I can't wait to get my hands on it.
No, I'll send you a copy the second that it's done.
Really? That's awesome. I'll be blasting it throughout the house.
You have to talk to me. Why not?
Absolutely. And can you give everyone the links to your websites or social networking sites so your fans can keep up on all your latest news?
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter. I just started this whole Twitter thing. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea how to use it. I just started it, but it's Twitter or at Gary Bender Music. That's what my Twitter name is. So follow me on Twitter so you can find out, like, what I'm doing at all times. You can follow me on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/Gary Bender. MySpace, I still actually have a MySpace. It's myspace.com/Gary Bender. Shocking. I think that's, Facebook. Oh, and I'm also on Reverb Nation. So you can check me out and see, like, where all my shows are and where I've played in the past and what's going on at, www.reverbnation.com/Gary Bender.
Awesome. And it won't take too much time to, start getting addicted to Twitter and starting to put it on your phone.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's actually on my phone. I just still don't know how to retweet people or do any of that stuff. I'm like, wow, I got to learn how to do it. I got to keep up with the times.
Definitely. It's so much fun to tweet. Here's some fun questions that I'd like to get into.
Sure.
So what is your greatest career memory so far?
Probably, I got a couple, but I think one of them was having my songs played on TV. That was kind of a trip. I remember I was at work one day, and I had no idea, but a buddy of mine called me, and he was like, oh, dude, I was lying on my bed, like, with my girlfriend. We were just kind of hanging out, and all of a sudden your songs, like, started playing, and I was like, whoa, did you put on a CD or anything like that? And I looked up, and MTV was on, and your song was being played on the background of, like, The Real World or something like that. And I was like, no way. So literally it got aired on MTV, and then the rest of the day at work, I pretty much got no work done whatsoever because my phone was going off the hook from a whole bunch of people that apparently had heard it be played on MTV. So that was pretty cool just to say that, like, you know, your songs have been used on TV, because if nothing else, if I don't become like, you know, a rock star, do anything, I can at least say that my songs are played on TV, which is a really cool thing to be able to say, because so many artists only dream of stuff like that, and I was fortunate enough to have that happen.
Absolutely. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. And then, like, later that night, I remember, like, I came, because I was still living at home at the time. My parents, like, literally, like, stayed up, like, hoping to God it would get, like, rerun, like, on, like, late night. So they had, like, their VHS, like, in the recorder, being like, oh, we got to find it. And sure enough, at, like, 2 a.m. Yeah, nowadays, right? They wound up, like, getting, like, retape it at, like, 2 a.m., like, when they played a rerun of the show. So it's funny.
Definitely. That is something that you'd love to keep. That's very, very cool. I would say that is the greatest career memory. Absolutely.
Not too bad.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no. Proceed.
Proceed. I'm sorry. There's like a really big delay, so if I cut you off, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're forgiven.
Awesome. That's always good. I was actually going to say, if you had to describe your music in three words, what would that be?
Love questions like this because it makes you think.
I know.
Very, honest. Very honest, heartfelt, and mm-hmm. fun. Honest, heartfelt, and fun, because I hold nothing back in any of my songs whatsoever. Like, I leave it all out on the line, and it literally is like my therapy. I have no problem saying how I'm feeling or what's going on in my head or how happy I am or how hurt I am, for that matter, or anything else that's going on. So I'm very honest, so everybody knows like what's going on in my head, and everything I write is extremely sincere. So it's very heartfelt. And at the same time, I like to keep it fun, because nobody wants to hear, like, you know, just a whole bunch of songs about lover's lament. Like, no, you want to be entertained. You want to have a good time. So, and I think that comes across in my live performance as well. I think everybody can usually tell that I'm having fun, because it's what I love to do. It's, you know, the thing that makes me want to get up in the morning, you know. So I like to have a lot of fun with my music as well.
Definitely. I agree. Here's another fun question. And it's actually my favorite question. Do you have any backstage embarrassing moments that you can share while performing?
Let's see. There's been a few over the years. We usually have like a ritual, like my crew and I, or when I say crew, I mean like myself and my manager and like a few of my close friends. We don't really have a crew, but we usually do either a chant or we'll take we'll have a drink together, you know, get pumped up for the show. As far as embarrassing moments, I've had like some technical difficulties sometimes. I've had like mic stands fall. I've actually like never forgotten my words or anything like that. So I'm very fortunate.
Oh, that's good.
I've never done anything like that. Nothing too outlandishly crazy, I guess. And I'm kind of fortunate for that, I guess. But I always have we have a show ritual. We always have a shot of whiskey before.
Celebratory drink.
Yeah. Well, first off, it warms up your vocal cords. So I'm not sitting there. That's usually like what we do. We'll do a vocal warm up like wherever our backstage is or wherever, and then we'll try to have a good time and have some fun with the kids.
Absolutely, that is the key.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, it was so amazing talking with you, and we actually ran out of time. But I hope to have you back when your album releases. I think
that'd
be really cool.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Very,
thank
cool.
you so much.
Anytime. Thanks so much for coming on, and I will talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. Have a great night, and thanks again.
You too. Thanks so much.
Take care.
You too. Thank you so much, Gary Bender. I had so much fun talking with you.
And Josie.
Hello.
I'm cutting in.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good. So I have a little surprise for you. Mm-hmm. Before we bring out the next guest, there's somebody on the line that would like to say hi to you.
Oh.
Yeah, you love surprises. I know you do.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
All right, fantastic. Well, hang on the line here. Let me go ahead and open up the mic.
All right.
Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hello.
Hey, Josie, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm fine, dear. I just called to thank all your fans on your show for letting us borrow you to come on the Southern Star. We're really excited about having you on.
And I am thrilled to even be able to come on. I have to thank you so much because I'm just so thrilled to be a new guest host on the Southern Star Radio. You guys all have to check them out, by the way.
Well, I know you're going to do a great job. We're all really excited about it, and you'll be on in a couple of weeks, and I just want to call and say, hey, and we love your show, okay?
Thanks so much, and I love your show, too.
Okay, dear. Carry on.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Very, very cool. That was a surprise. He actually that is Michael McCormick, who is with the Southern Star, where I'm going to be guest hosting on April 29th. That was my big news that I had. So check it out at www.thesouthernstar.org. And it's all over josieshow.com. So just click the link and you will be directed right there. So very, very exciting. So thank you so much for calling in. So now it looks like our second guest has arrived. So everyone, please welcome online safety expert Linda Criddle. Hello, Linda. You there? Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be talking with you.
Well, I hope we'll make an interesting conversation for your listeners.
Absolutely, and important one. We have some important information as well that we're going to ask you about. So starting here, you're the founder of Look Both Ways. Can you first tell my audience what that is and how you got started?
Yeah, what that is a company that looks at internet technologies. We develop, we're a developer company, tools and services, but we also do a lot of consulting for businesses on how to build safer products, to consumers on how to be smarter in how they interact online, and we do a lot of training for law enforcement.
Wow, very, very cool. And besides the local authorities, there are also places online for reporting, correct?
Yes, there are. Every online site that you are on should have a place for you to report abuse if it happens, whether that's financial abuse, bullying, emotional abuse, threats of physical violence, whatever it is. Sites should be place for you to report it, and they should be following up with you so they know they actually did something with it.
Yeah, definitely, very, very important. And here's also a good question. Has your organization seen a greater threat to people regarding internet safety since our mobile devices can do so much?
Well, they're pretty much the same types of threats. A mobile phone enables a few new scenarios. So because it's mobile, you have a lot more with the location tracking and things. But most crime follows very basic patterns, or crime and meanness, I guess I should say, follow basic patterns. So the fact that you have it on your phone just means that it's with you all the time. The new risks that come with phones are the location tracking pieces, and most people don't know how to make sure that their phone is secure. They're like, oh, I want to save money, so I'm going to go online from an internet cafe, so I'm not having to use my data plan or whatever. But they don't know how to think about whether that internet cafe has a secure site or whether everything they do while there is being captured by a crook.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of schools here, Do schools use some kind of filters on their systems to keep kids safe while at school, since the internet is brought into many classrooms?
Yeah, they do. Schools, and of course it varies by state and by school district, but schools do have filters on their schools. Some are very restrictive. You can't get to Facebook. You can't get to, you know, just all kinds of sites. Others are much, much more embracing of technology and allow students to get to a lot more sites. But there, I have never heard of a school that does not have some form of filtering in place.
Absolutely. Well, the schools I went to, because I'm 16, so the schools I went to, they always had filters, and that's always important. So, absolutely.
While most students can get around filters if they choose to, the goal of online safety tools actually isn't to keep everybody safe. I mean, it would be nice, except it would be a little creepy. The goal, you know, I'm going to force you to be safe. You know, you want the tools to keep you safe. And if you're doing normal things, you want it to keep you safe. But if you're absolutely determined to act stupid and put yourself in harm's way, you're going to do it. The programs aren't going to stop you. So sometimes I feel like people of all ages, not just teens, are like, well, I can get around this. I can get around this. I'm like, yeah, you can. You know, frankly, I could hack darn near anything. The question is, why would you want to do that? If those are put in place to help you stay safer, why would you want to hack it? And do you understand what the consequences may be? And then they usually slow down and say, huh, maybe I shouldn't hack it.
Yeah, that light bulb goes off.
Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean it's really a good idea.
Absolutely. And what should parents look for when their kids are online?
Well, the first thing parents should look for is a healthy, honest conversation. One of the things that drives me nuts with a lot of adults, so let me just say, I'm a mom with 4 kids. Now, my youngest is 19, but, you know, I have lived the internet generation with my kids, and I have been in the technology field, you know, for the last 18 years, 13 years at Microsoft. And the important thing for parents is to have honest conversations and to not say no to everything. So many times, you know, a kid will go, hey, Mom, I want to have a social networking site. And the parent's first reaction is, no, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And what's important for parents to say is, fantastic. That's really fantastic. Understanding how to use technologies is a critical life skill now. So let's figure out how you can do whatever it is you want to do in a way that's safe and in a way that's socially responsible. Because that's the piece that they kind of forget. It's like when you go onto an internet site, it's not a right, it's a privilege. And the site says you can come on if you follow some rules, you know? And your parents can say you can go on if you follow some rules. And those rules, you know, for any given situation, you could say, oh, that's so stupid. You know, it says I have to be 14, and I'm a really mature 11-year-old. Well, probably you're not, but, you know, everyone imagines they're more mature than they are, even adults. And so it's, do you really accept the terms and responsibilities that go with joining a site? And if so, act that way. But for parents, it's really about having honest conversations and about helping their kids take on new online tools, games, social sites, whatever it is, in a safe and responsible manner. But the answer for parents is to say yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another topic here, cyberbullying. Does your organization also help deal with cyberbullying?
Well, because I work a lot with schools, I certainly get called by schools when they're having a case where there's cyberbullying going on and they can't figure out who's behind it. You know, kids like to think that they can hide. Frankly, you can't. But they can hide from people who don't know how to look for things online. But when you bring in those of us who have some real skills in this area, you're going to be caught. But more than that, when I sit down and I talk to cyberbullying victims, I have one message. And when I sit down and talk to the cyberbullies themselves, I have a different message. And I really appreciate that you brought this up, because the first thing when I talk to victims who have been cyberbullied, just like when I talk to people who've been, you know, bullied just face-to-face, if you ask, why were you bullied, they always answer, always, because I, because I'm short, because I'm tall, because I'm a nerd, because I'm, you know, bad at sports. Because, and it's like, no, it has nothing to do with you. It's not because you did anything. It's because the person who bullied wanted to be mean. That's why you were bullied. And when people say, because I, they've blamed themselves. You know, if I wasn't whatever, then I wouldn't have been bullied. No, you would have been bullied anyway. They just, bullies find a person they want to bully, and then they make up an excuse for it. But to have the victim agree is saying the victim, it's my fault. You know, it's because I did this. It's like, no, it's not because you were short. It's because they were mean. Why were you bullied? Because that guy's a jerk. That's the answer.
Absolutely.
And when I talk to bullies, one of the things bullies really don't understand is the long-term consequences of what they're doing. Not to the other person. Yeah, you can really mess people up if you, you know, every time you walk past them and all your friends, every time they walk past them, say something mean or push and shove or whatever. But what the bully does the most damage to is themselves. People who, as teens, you know, bully others, not just a one-time mean, but people who are really bullies, what they've done is they stopped learning how to figure out how to interact with people in a socially acceptable way, and they stick to that kind of bullying way, and they grow up to continue to be bullies. And nobody wants to work with a bully. Nobody wants to work for a bully, so they really don't do well in the workplace. They go on to become, you know, the wife beaters or the husband beaters or the child beaters. So bullies create for themselves a really, really negative lifestyle. They are much more likely to be arrested for crimes. They are much more likely to get heavily into alcohol and struggle with alcoholism or other drug issues. So I say to the bully, don't bully because it's not nice. But if you can't find the decency in yourself to care about the feelings of someone else, don't bully because you're really going to mess yourself up badly, and you don't want that life.
Exactly. And what should you do if you're a victim to a cyberbully?
Well, there's several things. The first thing is what you should not do. Do not respond to them. It can be so tempting to say, you know, you said something mean to me, I'm going to trash you back. The problem with that is while it may give you satisfaction in the moment you click send or whatever, you don't know what will come next. You don't know how it's going to escalate. You don't know any of those things. And the real goal of a bully is to upset you. So if you respond, they see that they upset you and they already won. What they want is to get the attention. If you ignore them, they lose. So you should ignore them. If they're making threats or if it's making you miserable in any way, which they do, document it. Save those text messages. Save the email. Take a snapshot, you know, a screen print of your computer screen, and just save those so you have evidence of what's been going on. Do not respond to that person at all. Do not threaten, nothing. And then start blocking them. You know, if it's a frenemy, you know, somebody that was a friend and now is on the outs with, block them. Don't let them have access to your information in your sites and what you're saying. Just block them. If they're calling you, block their phone number. If they are, you know, and tell your school. If the person is in your school, most of the time you know who's cyberbullying you. Even if you don't know that you know who they are, you probably know. And if I came and told you this is who it was, you'd probably go, oh, that doesn't surprise me. You know, most people know at the back of their head who is doing it. But if it has anything to do with another kid in your school, notify the school. But when you notify the school, you have to make sure the school does the right thing by you. Because if you go and tell the school and they just botch it up, all they've done is made it even worse for you. And so teens in particular need to be their own advocate. First, they need to say, why did that person bully me? Because they're a jerk. It has nothing to do with me. That's the first thing is, it's not my fault. And the second one is, I am going to document and get help. The people, you know, who bully want you to believe two things. They want you to believe that wimps tattle. Well, that's not really true. People who go and find someone who can help them, whether it's a parent, whether it's a teacher, they're the people who said to themselves, I deserve better than this. If I can't stop this guy on my own or this girl on my own, I'm going to bring in the big guns because I do not deserve to be treated this way. And so bullies, of course, don't want you to do that. So they want you to think that, you know, it's a bad thing to go get help. It's not. It's the right thing to do. And it's saying to yourself, I deserve better. So it's positive for yourself to do that. And the second thing bullies want you to believe is that it is your fault. And again, mm-hmm. that's just one of those things you just don't want to buy into. They're saying that because then it isn't their fault. Then they don't have to be responsible for what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Another topic that I want to go over, because, you know, you see this all on the news all the time, about predators and, you know, people, you know, is there an age group that most predators target online?
No. When people talk about internet predators, almost everybody's mind goes to sexual predators, you know, the pedophiles mm-hmm. going after children. First of all, sexual predators go after people of all ages. Seniors mm-hmm. are being preyed on sexually online and being, meeting people and being hurt. So it's not something that just happens to teens. But there is a particularly at-risk age. Trying to make an internet connection with and meeting with someone who's under 10 isn't very successful because they're just really not online like that yet. They're probably mm-hmm. in Club Penguin or you know, Webkinz and not really looking to find people, you know, complete strangers to talk to. The people that they do have to worry about are people they know. I don't like the phrase stranger danger when you're talking about sexual mm-hmm. predators. Strangers are rarely the ones who attack. Almost all the time when somebody is sexually abused, it's by someone they know, a family member, a neighbor, or a close family friend. And so those people may be talking to a 10-year-old because it's Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so and sort of building this trust and secret relationship. So when you're talking about predators online, first know that there's emotional predators, the bullies and all. There's the financial predators who are after your money. There are sexual predators. But that's just one type of physical predator. Some types of physical predators come and steal things from your house. They want to steal your property, or maybe they just want to beat you up. It might not have anything to do with sexual abuse. And then there's mm-hmm. the predators who destroy reputations. So when you think about online predators, it's all kinds of criminals and nastiness. One type of predator is a sexual predator. So mm-hmm. for strangers meeting people online, the 13 to 18-year-old age group is at mm-hmm. risk, at a higher risk, for wanting to meet new people online without using necessarily a lot of defensive protections. And so they have some risks there. But people of all ages on dating sites have to be careful that the person they meet up with isn't going to hurt them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And can you tell us a little bit about the behavioral patterns of online predators that people should keep a lookout for?
Sure. And several of the behaviors are exactly the same. If I want to take your money, Josie, or if I want to hurt you physically, or if I want to come and steal your mom's identity, or, you know, grab your family car, there's a few things that are very similar. I am going to begin to build trust with you so that I can learn more about you and that you can start trusting me. And as you start trusting me, you'll be more likely to trust me when I say I have this really, great, if you were older, I would say I've got this really great stock tip, right? But you're probably not buying stocks. You seem to be a very savvy young lady, but you're probably not buying stocks yet. But I might say, there's this website I know that has selling iPhones really cheap. And, if you just pay $50, you're going to get this cool iPhone. And I'm even going to show you what mine looks like because I totally got mine there. And you may be tempted then to go buy an iPhone from this site, which won't ever send you one, right? It's all a scam. I'm going to use building your trust. So if a person starts to ask questions or tries to get too friendly, too personal with you, that's a red flag. Whether they're trying to get your money or your mom's money, they want to hurt you emotionally or hurt you physically. Be careful about who you trust and who you know that knows them, right? So that that you're just watching for people who are trying to get too close to you in some way or get you to trust them in some way. If I hear that you said, oh, I am so mad at my mom, we just had this big fight, and then I come and say, you know what, that was terrible of your mom to do that, and I try to pull you away from, that close relationship with your mom or that close relationship with some of your other friends. I want to isolate you. I want you to trust me and only me, because then I will be able to prey on you emotionally, physically, financially, or on your reputation. So to watch out for any of these kinds of behaviors, it's to say, why should I trust that person? Who else
absolutely
trusts that person? And just, slow down and always say, does it sound too good to be true? If you get any kind of offer for anything, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true.
Exactly. And as you mentioned before, with dating sites, et cetera, are there any specific sites that are considered most dangerous for anybody to be going on?
Well, if you want to do online dating, now this is for your older listeners more, but if you want to be online dating, don't find your dates through Facebook. Find your dates through a reputable online dating site that does a background check on the people on that site and that monitors that site for all the communications so that if they see anything creepy, they flag it right away. Now, that's not something Facebook does, right? Facebook doesn't vet people. They're not watching every conversation. And so if that's what you want, go to a site that is designed to give you the best safety for what you're doing. If you want to buy something online, it's the same thing. You don't want to go to storenoone'severheardof.com. You want to go to a store that you know of, that you like Amazon or, something, Macy's online, whatever it is, but you know that that's a totally legitimate store. You don't, because that's where you know you're going to have a safer protection. You don't ever want to go through some ad or through some link in your email that says, hey, this is from your bank. You're going to say to yourself, yeah, right, maybe, maybe not. If I want to go to my bank, I am going to go into Google or into Bing or into whatever browser you're using and search engine and put in your own bank's information to make sure you're on their site, not a really smart-looking fake that's going to steal all your information. So it's use sites that are specifically designed to help you in what you're doing. And then look at each site. some sites, like if I told you Disney and I told you, you know, to think about what that brand means, what Disney's brand means, and to think about what Facebook's brand stands for, and to think about, I don't know, some sort of sketchy company and say, what does their brand stand for? They're different. You know, you could say, I would never imagine anything going wrong with Disney because they work really hard to make sure everybody's safe and happy and has a good experience. And you say, you know, things shouldn't go too far wrong on a Facebook, but they can because they haven't made this we guarantee that you're always going to be safe sort of feeling. And then there's the companies that, you know, that are actually designed to scam you right from the get-go, right? So you have to say, what do I know about this company? Do I trust them? Is that a site I would use? You know, it's the same with your friends. If you wanted advice about cute shoes, you probably know which friend you would ask. You have other friends that you would totally never ask because they have the worst taste in shoes ever, right? So you're selecting who you ask for advice. And in the same way online, you should select where you go for advice, for entertainment, for whatever, based on that that company's reputation. And so for people who want to do social networking, there are many sites that are alternatives to Facebook for younger teens, and I'm not talking tweens and 10-year-olds, but there's a lot of really good sites like Everloop, like YourSphere, that do a lot to make sure that there's a lot of safety in place, way more than Facebook, because that's not what Facebook's trying to do. You look at the companies and you say, do I like how well they monitor their site? Do I like their privacy policies? Because you do want to keep your information private. And sort of go shopping. Most people don't think about going shopping when they're finding sites. But if you go shopping and say, do I think this is a good place? You know, does it match what I want? You'll do a good job of finding safe sites.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I researched before the show, and I found something very interesting. It's called The 5 Rules for Internet Safety. Can I go through these 5 rules with you now, and you can help us decide if anything needs to be added for basic safety rules?
Sure, sounds fun.
All right. So number one, only use first names. Do not give out any personal information or pictures. And that's a big one.
Now here's why I think that's it sounds good, but in reality it's kind of silly. A lot of websites you have to put in your real name, and there's nothing wrong with putting your real name in a site. It doesn't mean that you display your real name to everybody else, but like in Facebook, it's a requirement that you put in your real name, and you're violating their terms of service if you put in something fake. So that's not necessarily correct, but you do need to be thoughtful about where you share your information. So that part is right. The specific advice wasn't. And this idea that you should never share photos, that's kind of silly. Think of all the wonderful photos there are to share. Lots of photos have nothing, I mean, you know, it's a picture of a tree. You know, this is, how is this going to hurt you? What you have to think about is always what information are you sharing, and then who are you sharing it with? So putting a photo online, even if you make it super, super, super private, only two people can see it besides you, there is a risk, because what if that site is hacked? What if that site changes its policies? You know, what if? So I would say never post a picture that you could regret.
And that's stuff that people usually don't think about.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I see so much heartache. I deal with the kids who have been stupid and posted a picture of them, you know, sexting or drinking or, you know, just all kinds of really stupid things. And what what happens is when you talk to them, they always say, you know, you say, what were you thinking? They said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And that's, I mean, most people don't deliberately go out to hurt themselves. It just seemed like a good idea at the time. They were goofing off and, you know, they snapped this picture and maybe they weren't even drinking. Maybe they were all just holding beer cans because they thought it would be funny. But then it got seen by the school and they all got kicked off, you know, their sports teams and the cheerleading squad and all of that, and now it's a horrible thing. Or maybe they took a picture of themselves nude and it's gone around the school and it's a horrible, embarrassing thing and everyone's calling them a slut or whatever. And so always, always say to yourself, could this ever embarrass me? And if it can, don't post it. But if it's not going to embarrass you, you ask the second question, which is, does it share too much information? And so most people don't understand how to see the information in photos. When I go to a school and I pull up a photo and I put it up on the screen and, you know, all the kids in the high schools are going, yeah, some old lady's going to whine at us about internet safety. I'll throw up a picture and I'll say, what do you see? And they'll say, I see a girl, you know, she's sitting on her porch. I'll say, oh, good. What else do you see? And they say, oh, I see a house number. And now they think that they've seen what's in the picture. And that's when I start pushing them a little further. Well, what is this? What do you see about this girl? Tell me about this girl. Is she shy? Is she confident? Is she vulnerable? Is she a jock? Is she goth? Is she emo? Is she, you know, whatever? And they, and you know, then look at how she's dressed. Look at her house. Is she wealthy? Does she come from a poor home? Is it middle class? Is this an urban home? Is this out in the country? And start, you know, what can you really see from this picture? And that's when the students stop thinking, oh, this is so boring, and now they're looking at it going, I never thought to look at it that way. But that's how, well, that's how a predator is looking at it. I'm looking at how can I break into that house. I'm looking at how can I be mean to that girl. I'm looking at, oh, there's a railing there that it looks like there's an old person living there, and there's a mailbox there that isn't locked, and I'm betting that there's a pension check coming to that mailbox that I could steal once a month, right? I'm looking at it from very different eyes than most people are when they're posting, when I'm in my ugly predator sort of mode. And that's what people struggle with. It's, you know, yes, there's people who post photos that are going to humiliate and embarrass them, but most people accidentally share too much information, and they never even knew they were doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not never use your full name and never post a photo. It's be careful where you use it, and be careful who sees it, and be careful what you're sharing.
Exactly.
What's your next point?
Yeah, the second one here is a good one here. Never agree to get together with someone that you meet online.
Well, now see, that again is really a simple statement, and you say, well, yeah, but that's kind of silly. If you think about me and my job, I meet people online all the time. People find me online and say, oh, my gosh, we need you to come talk to our school, train our police force, help us with a case that we're having trouble with, and we need you to help us track it down. I've never met these people. They just contact me online. And I go and meet with them and speak for their schools and things all the time. So, oh, my gosh, I am meeting strangers all the time. And I'm supposed to be this internet safety expert. Ah! No, the real answer there is, again, to think. What if you meet this guy online, because you're 16 and you know what a hot guy looks like, and and you've been chatting for a long time, and he's like, hey, you know, I'd love to meet you in person. What are you supposed to do? Slam your computer shut, run to your mother screaming, and never speak to that person again? Well, that would be kind of silly.
Yeah.
But should you go meet him in a dark park in the middle of the, you know, dangerous neighborhood all by yourself? Well, that would also be ridiculous. So you'd say, if I want to meet somebody, I need to do several things to make sure I'm safe. I want somebody to have my back. So I would want my parents to know, and I would want that to meet in a public place at a parks are public, but not in the middle of the night. Yeah, it may be public, but it's also completely empty. You want to meet where there's lots of people around and where you can be comfortable and you can be safe. So the idea that you should never, ever, ever, ever meet anybody that you only met online is silly. Making sure you set up an environment that is very safe is just smart.
Exactly. Exactly. Here's the third one here. Don't believe everything you read. The person you think may be, let's say, a girl your own age could really be an older man.
Well, that's true. But it goes a lot further than that. That old man could be just a little kid. Think of that. So nobody proves anything on the internet. You always have to say, do I believe this? Do I believe this? Whoever wrote this? Do I believe the information? So most people, most of the time, are exactly who they say they are online. Most of the time. But most of the time isn't all of the time. What if it's 80% of the time? What if 80% of the time people are exactly what they say they are? They don't have any other motive than the one they said they have. You know, I'm a nice person. I'm just looking to chat. That's at least 80% of the time. But if you are gambling, 80% odds aren't really all that great, because that means 20% of the time you'd lose, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's no reason to gamble. You don't have to believe anybody until they have proven themselves. And that can take time. That can take whatever you want. And that takes a lot more than saying, well, send me a picture. I want to know what you look like, because I can send you any picture I want, right? But I need to be able to see that you really do go to the school you say you go to, and that, you know, we can find somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows us, right? Because what's that 7 degrees of separation thing? And the internet is brilliant at saying, oh, who are your common friends, your common friends, your common friends? Somebody who can say, I've met that person and they're cool. Or I've met that person and they're a jerk. So people may be who they say they are. Information you read may be legit or it may be totally illegit. Companies that say, you know, claim they're companies, it may be a company, it may just be a bunch of crooks. Anything you read or see or do on the internet, you need to have healthy skepticism. So I agree with that point, but it just didn't go far enough. Yeah, people might be bogus, but so might the content or the website.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's see here. Oh, the fourth one. If you become uncomfortable, tell your parents immediately. Do not reply to messages that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's a good one. Unless the message is, that's making you uncomfortable is from somebody in your family who you need to go tell somebody else, you know, tell a teacher that it's making you uncomfortable. you should never, ever have to feel uncomfortable. Nobody should ever have to feel uncomfortable. So if any time you feel uncomfortable, you have the right to say so. It's not embarrassing. It's not rude. It's just, I'm not comfortable, you know, and you don't have to talk to that person again. Or if it's somebody, you know, in your life and you are going to see them every single day in class, you still have the right to say, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like this and I don't want this. The one thing that every person has the right to control is their right to safety and comfort. And so if I think you're standing too close to me, I can say, I need you to back off. You're standing too close to me. If I think you're asking me things or talking to me about things I don't like or make me uncomfortable, I'm going to tell you, you don't have the right to talk to me that way, and I don't want to hear it. And I absolutely recommend that you find someone to help you. And for lots of people, that's the parents. But for a lot of kids who don't have a perfect family home and whose parents might not be that supportive, you need to find somebody else. But always make sure that you can tell yourself, I don't deserve this, and I have the right to set my boundaries.
Exactly, and don't be afraid to say something.
No, no, it's not embarrassing. It's you saying, standing up for your rights.
Right. Right.
No one has the right to make you uncomfortable, and you always have the right to stay in a comfortable environment.
Yep.
So I agree with that 100%. That was the first one we agree with.
Awesome. Yeah, you gotta fix and change these a little bit. the fifth one here, do not tell anyone any of your account passwords.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're really young and you're telling it to your parents. I get the strangest comments from people about passwords. And every year, I mean, I talk to tens of thousands of students. Sometimes there's 1,000 students in an assembly in a high school all at once. And I get comments from kids all the time saying, oh, my account was hacked. Well, you know what? It's possible that their account was hacked. I can hack someone's account. But I have yet to talk to a kid who actually had their account hacked. Here's what they did. They either told somebody their password. Okay, well, that's stupid. Or they walked away from their computer without shutting down the program so somebody else could get in there. Or they weren't paying attention when they were typing in their password and somebody was shoulder surfing, watching over their shoulder and collecting it. If you don't share your password and you know how to make a strong password, which I'd be happy to talk to in just a minute, you will just stay safer. Then I get the kids who come up to me, and it's particularly girls, who say, oh, my boyfriend keeps asking for my password, so finally I told it to him, but I went right home and I changed it. And I look at them and I say, well, then why didn't you just lie in the first place and tell them a different password? And they go, oh. And I'm like, but even more importantly, you know what? Friends don't ask friends for passwords. If somebody asks you for your password, you should be asking why. Why would you want to know that? Because the only reason to know that is because you might potentially want to use it. Well, I don't want you to ever use it. And that's not what somebody who trusts me does. Oh, if you let's prove that we trust each other. We'll tell each other our passwords. You know what? That's just disrespectful. Really disrespectful to ask someone for their password. That's like way worse than asking them how much they weigh or how old they are when you don't want to walk up to an old lady and say, how old are you? Asking someone for a password is rude.
Exactly.
And people should say so. Hey, that's not cool. I'm not sharing my password. And the only reason you're asking for it has got to be creepy. So don't even be asking me.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering, are there any other internet safety tips that you can give my listeners that weren't on this list?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, so I have a website that has a tremendous amount of internet safety information on it, and it's called ilookbothways.com. Straightforward.
Oh, yeah.
And on there, so your listeners know, there's a place that says Ask Linda. So if you're on the website and you can't find an answer to the question that you have, you can email me and get an answer. Now, I want to make sure that your listeners know I am a privacy freak. So if you email me, once I finish answering you, your email goes into the garbage. I do not keep anyone's information ever. So if you have another question you want to ask, you'll have to remind me what the first one was because I get a lot of email. So that's one thing is there's always a source people can go to. The second thing is I have a foundation, and we are building a full internet curriculum for schools, and it's not called internet safety. It's called Net Skills for Life because it's not just about safety. It's about privacy. It's about respect. It's about how to search right. It's about how do you harden a computer so that hackers can't get in, all of those things. And so it's free. It's 100% free. And, again, you can't even register because I don't want to know who you are. I respect people's privacy, and I don't want your information. And that curriculum will be is out being tested right now, and it will be available midsummer so that schools can start using it in the fall. But it's also there for families and clubs and organizations. So there's information out there. Now, what I would say is what you usually hear are there's three kinds of risks. It's contact by bad people. It's conduct where you're misbehaving. And it's content, you know, that's going to be full of pornography or something terrible or hate speech or whatever. Those are easy, but that's not really where your problems are. Your problems are when you don't know how to figure out who you should trust. You have to know the trustworthiness of the people you interact with online, of the companies you interact with online, and even of the information you're interacting with online. No one is going to look stupider than the kid who goes to a site that's full of crap information and uses that to write their report for school. And they come in and it's like, no, that's not even correct. So you need to know who you can trust, who, in terms of companies and content, what, who, and how can you trust? The second one is, what are you really sharing? Because as I kind of told you with that, with the sort of picture analogy, what you think you share and what I see that you're sharing can be very, very different. And it helps to sort of open your eyes and look at sites and look at information and say, if I was the creepiest person I could ever think of, what would I be trying to get out of this site? How would I be trying to figure out what their emotions are, what their finances are, what their, who their friends are, where they're located? And if you can find information that you wouldn't want me to know, then take it down.
Exactly.
Because you should be thinking of me as like the seriously creepy person. If the creepiest person you could think of, you didn't want them to see this piece of information, take it down. Don't be putting your phone number in a blog message. Don't be putting your address in a blog message. You really don't want me to show up on your doorstep, right, and come rob your house. Don't be telling me that, I'm so excited, our family's going to, you know, the Bahamas next week. Well, you might as well have just said, hey, everybody, why don't you come rob me next week, right? And so people need to think about what they're really sharing. So who can they trust in terms of people, websites, information? What are you sharing about yourself or about your family? And then the last one is, how do you act responsibly to yourself, to others? You don't want somebody being nasty and snotty to you. Well, clean up your own behavior and make sure you are acting the way you want to be treated. And if people follow those, they'll start off well. Then you have to learn, how do you identify spam and scam so you're not, you know, falling for the, you know, Josie, you have an uncle in Nigeria who wants to give you, you know, $10 million. All we need from you is every piece of information you have, your bank accounts, everything else, every piece of information, including social security numbers and bank accounts on your parents. You know, it's like, hello, you know what? I don't think I have an uncle in, you know, in Nigeria. You have to be able to understand how to spot a spam and a scam. You have to understand how to make a strong password. And that's, let me hit on that for a moment, because most people are totally afraid of passwords. Yeah, you know you're supposed to have a unique password for every single website you go to, and you're supposed to change every one of those passwords, you know, like once a month. So let's be honest. How many passwords do you have, Josie?
Oh, man, so many with, like, the advertising and different social networking sites. I couldn't even count.
Well, see, what that tells me is that you're an awfully smart person, because I talk to people who are IT professionals, internet technology professionals, and they'll look at me and get really red in the face and say, actually, I only have three passwords. I have, you know, 50 sites I'm on, but I only have three passwords. And they're like, not even hard to guess. oh, it's, you know, a combination of my name and my birth date or my best friend or my boyfriend or my dog. Well, I can guess most people's passwords in 5 or 6 mm-hmm. tries because that's how obvious they are.
Right.
Here's how to make a strong password.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to have length. It should be at least 8 characters long. At least. 14, 15 uh-huh. is better. And you're going, yeah, but the more you put on there, how am I going to remember? It's
yeah.
easy. Now, there mm-hmm. are several systems, so passwords don't have to be hard to remember. They just have mm-hmm. to be hard to guess. So what if you were writing something like you were writing a text message? So if you were thinking of the phrase, to be or not to be, that is the question. If you were going to text it to me, it'd probably start with a number 2. And a capital B, 2B. And
mm-hmm.
then it would be, you could write out, or in small letters, not 2B, right? And it's number 2 and a capital B.
Yeah.
And then you could say, it could say that is, and then there could be a question mark. Well, now you mm-hmm. have a password that's long enough. It has capital letters. It has small letters. It has numbers. And it has a symbol with a question mark. So that starts to be pretty strong. Now, as long as you don't tell anybody, hey, guess what, my password, it's going to be hard for them to guess, right?
Yeah.
And if you had one, I mean, so just think of all kinds of things, like later, later, not today, all the lazy people say. I mean, these are little silly rhymes that if you were going to write later, it's L8R, right? So you can write phrases. If the password is for your Facebook account, maybe you start it by saying face, capital F-A-C-E, and the month is April, so I'm going to say face A-P-R, and the A is capital. And then I'm going to put in some symbols. Well, what if I use symbols that make it a smiley face, or a frowny face,
yeah.
or a winking face, or a smiley face with the hat, or I use the smiley face characters that to make, like, the cat. You know, there's like all sorts of things. What if in the middle of every one of my passwords, I added a smiley face? You know how much harder that would be for somebody to guess?
Exactly, and it wouldn't be that hard for you to remember.
No, if you know that on all the sites that you like, you have a smiley face, and all the sites
yeah.
that you hate, but you have to go to anyway, you put in a frowny face. Like for me, I'd be all the places I had to pay the bills or whatever. Or for you, it might be on the school test sites or whatever. You have
yeah.
made it your password super strong just by adding a smiley face. But you want to have some numbers. You want to have some symbols. And you want to have some characters. And one of the passwords that I show people is I said, what if I made the password be this? 1QAZSE4RFW, RFVGY7. Would that be an easy one to remember?
No.
But actually it is. If you look at the keyboard in front of you, you'll see that I started at the number 1 and I made a W on the keyboard.
Oh.
Right? So if my last name was Watkins, I could make a W. And then, you know what? Next month I could start at the number 2 and I could make a W go across. Or I could make a triangle. Or I could make a square. Or I could make a smiley face because my keyboard isn't just the keyboard, I can use it to draw pictures on, right? I can make S's and whatever I want on there. And then it's like totally random because it sounds impossible, 1QAZ, whatever. But all I have to do is dot, 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 and make a W on my keyboard or a Z or a C or an S or whatever I want.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be hard for you to remember. In fact, it's important that they're easy for you to remember. It's just important that they're hard for me to guess.
Exactly. I never even thought about that. That's a really cool thing that you pointed out, that you can do that.
Yeah,
that
well,
is very, very cool.
Start putting on smiley faces and using your keyboard to draw.
Exactly. You hear that, people? Exactly.
And then the last
very,
thing
very
I'm going to
cool.
the last thing I'll tell you about internet safety, and there's a lot. I mean, we could have a conversation every week for a year and help people get safer and safer. But
yeah.
I also want to tell people sometimes the best thing to do is to lie. And here's when. You know, if it's somebody asking you questions that you don't want to tell the right answer to, you probably shouldn't just, you should just say, dude, I'm not talking to you anymore, and hang up or log off or block them or whatever. But sometimes when you go on a website and you're registering and they want you to put in a password reminder and you're supposed to say, you know, here's the secret hint, and it's going to say, what city were you born in, or what was the school you went to, or what is your mother's maiden name, or you know, things like that. That's not private. That's not a security question. That's an anti-security question, because I can go look up what school you went to. I can go look up on the birth certificate records what your mother's maiden name is. So if you use one of those answers that I can actually easily find out about you, I can hijack your account really, really fast. Because all I'll say is, hey, I'm Josie, and I forgot my password. And so it's going to say, okay, well, answer this, you know, security question. And because I know what your mother's maiden name is, I can just type that in. And then I never even had to know your password. Now they give me all the access to your account. Now I can do a lot of damage to you. I can empty your bank account. I can do, you know, be mean on your Facebook account, whatever. So when you're asked a security question that just is not secure, lie. They don't care if you tell them what your mother's maiden name is. All they want to make sure is that you remember what you put there. So if you forget your password, you'll remember that piece of information. So the example I give, and everybody listening, please do not use this as your example. But what is your mother's maiden name? Purple Butterfly. What was the name of your first pet? Purple Butterfly. What was the name of your first car? Purple Butterfly. Or, you know, Orange Popsicle. Whatever you want it to be, don't use Purple Butterfly, because I always use that in my examples, and now I'm afraid everybody's going to use that, and then they're still going to be found out. You just have to remember it. But there's no reason that you would share information that somebody else could know. So if you're asked for a security question that is anything but secure, because someone else could find out that, use something else. Just remember what you used. Which is why something like, but if you remember that I'm going to say green lollipop every time, then you'll remember it. But don't use a piece of information as the key to getting into your account that I could know by looking it up. Because then all the passwords, everything you did has no meaning. I'll just walk right past it and take over your accounts.
And we actually have a question in the chat room. They wanted to know, should you use different email addresses for business and personal?
Yes, you should. And there's a few reasons for that. And I recommend you have a third email address that you use for shopping. Because when you're shopping online and things, it can really get your inbox spammy. Like a lot of companies will resell your information, and now you're getting spam from every which direction. So if you don't want to have to dig out through spam all the time in your regular personal email, then use a separate one for that. And I think that it's very important to use a different one for work, because, one, it helps you keep, you know, your folder straight. But the second one is, a lot of employers have the right, by law and by the terms that you signed when you started with them, they have the right to look at any of your business email, because they essentially own all the communications about their business. And if you have mixed up your personal information in there, you can't say, oh, well, these ones are personal, and I don't want you to read those.
Yeah, they'll just
you need to
get
keep
in.
Those very separate. You keep your business ones about business and your personal ones about personal stuff, because it's going to be really uncomfortable for you if your employer says, we own the rights to all of these emails, and I'm can review them at any time. And now they're looking at stuff that you would find mortally embarrassing for your boss to know, that may get you fired, that may, you know, maybe you've said to somebody that, oh, I'm so happy we're expecting our, you know, first child, and the manager now looks at it and he's like, oh, well, I am so not going to give her a promotion because she's going to go out on maternity leave, right? It could come back and bite you in a whole bunch of different ways that's just none of their business. So absolutely keep business email and personal email separate. And then, as I said, you may want another one that you use when you're shopping because that one often brings a lot of spam your direction.
Yeah. Very, very good question.
Yeah.
And we're actually running out of time, but I have two last questions for you if you're able to.
I'll be real quick about that.
No problem. So you've written some books. Can you tell us about them and where to purchase them?
Sure. I wrote a book that's called, the first book is called Look Both Ways, Help Protect Your Family on the Internet. And I'm assuming it can be bought on Amazon or Barnes & Noble site. If people have problems with that, they can contact me directly because I have a bunch of books here at home. The second book I wrote is called Using the Internet Safely for Seniors for Dummies because it's in the For Dummies book series. And the complaints I've had from people about that book is they say, I don't know why you say it's for seniors because it's for everybody. And I'm like, well, but that's the book, you know, I didn't write the title. And they also don't like that it says For Dummies. I'm like, excuse me, they have a whole series of books called For Dummies. So that book is really for people about themselves, not I'm a parent trying to take care of my kid. But I'm an adult or I'm a teen and I want to know what I need to know, but I don't want all this, you know, family safety stuff. And then I wrote a chapter. So if any of your listeners have parents who keep saying, no, I don't want you to use this technology, or no, I don't want to use that technology, the perfect book for them is a book that's called Courageous Parenting, Confident Kids. It's an anthology where 12 experts, myself included, were asked to contribute a chapter. And to that book, I contributed a chapter that's called How to Say Yes to Your Kids' Online Activities. And it really just helps parents understand what it takes for them to feel comfortable and to help their kids be ready so that when their kids say, hey, I want to do this online or hey, I want to do that online, that they can say, yes, absolutely. Let's make sure you've mastered the skills you need and then let's make sure you step up to this responsibility that has about keeping yourself safe, about keeping our family safe, about acting like a decent digital human being. And then the answer is yes. And so those are the three books. If anybody has any trouble, they can contact me, and I'll make sure that they get a copy of any of the books. But they should be able to get them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, whatever site.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So everyone check that out. And last but not least, can you give everyone your website again that I could write in the chat room so everyone could check it out?
Yeah, it's called I Look Both Ways. And the reason my company's called that, Look Both Ways, is because so many people were saying, oh, the Internet's this horrible, dangerous place. You know, never go there. And I'm like, that's like saying never cross a street. That's ridiculous. What you want to tell people is, hey, look both ways before you cross the street. And it's the same on the Internet. Look both ways, make sure you know what you're doing, and then go have a good time.
Exactly, exactly. And I just posted it, your website in our chat room, and it's also on our website, so everyone could just check that out, click away. So very, very cool. And I had so much fun talking with you, and I learned so much about Internet safety. Thanks so much.
Well, it was fun, and I hope it was useful for people. If you have any other questions, you can always call or send me an email.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and very, very useful information. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I hope to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Awesome. Had a great time talking with Linda Criddle. And I've learned so much because I have websites after websites with the Josie Show here. And I learned a lot of information, and so did my producers over here, like, I didn't know that. Yeah, so big thank you to Linda Criddle, and also our first guest, Gary Bender, who was amazing, very, very cool, very, very cool. Had so much fun talking to them both. So now we have your favorite segment that you all love dearly. Crazy items sold on eBay, and I'm actually going to ask my producer if she would love to help me out with this big list, because, you know, she loves to have fun and laugh at these.
Woo! I love a good time.
Well, then you must have loved this show, because it was tons of fun.
I do. That was fantastic. You know, I learned so many things, seriously, that
I know, because we both have websites, and we're
And we have a little bit of an expert, you know, kind of in the chat room as well, who was telling us all kinds of news, so I'm like, hey, I got to make some changes.
Yeah, totally. Very, very cool.
That's funny. All right.
Yeah. So, all right, so crazy items sold on eBay. You guys know, you guys love it, you guys listen to it every week. So here we go. Let's start off. So freeze-dried astronaut ice cream sandwich sold for $11.97. Yum.
Oh, yum. That sounds
yummy.
That sounds so tasty.
What does that mean, freeze-dried? I don't want to
know. You know, it's just, well, basically it means that it's packed and, like, I don't know, it's like smushed. And it's like dry, so you have to, like, do something to bring it back to life. And when you heat it or do whatever.
One,
whatever you do, I don't know how to explain it. But whenever you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do with it, it comes back to life, so then you would have a lovely ice cream sandwich.
Mm.
They say actually that it's good. I mean, it sounds goofy, but they actually say that it's good. Somebody else was talking about freeze-dried something inside the chat room a few minutes ago.
Bon appetit. All right.
Okay, so.
Bon appetit.
Maybe that was my imagination.
Sounds
right.
Good. Maybe. No, sounds good. So, ever felt like you need to bring yourself in control? Well, you can get a straitjacket for $214.25. Oh,
see, I'm sorry
so
that
cool.
I missed that, because sometimes I just need to be in control.
You know what? A straitjacket is definitely for you. We'll go on eBay and search for some more.
I
don't
just
worry.
I just put it on and go lay down, and then that way I can control all of my body. It'd be great.
Don't
okay.
worry about that. Okay, so next one. Someone dug up their lawn and put it on eBay for sale. For $152.50. Now, that's a little creepy, isn't it?
That was really nice of him. I think he was trying to do that sod thing, you know, where you scoop up all the grass just from the dirt, except, you know, his grass didn't look so great and his dirt didn't look so hot.
That didn't help you.
It didn't look like anything you'd want to purchase, but someone apparently was desperate. So
someone purchased it, so check that out.
Don't buy anything.
I know, on eBay, seriously. Next, hungry, how about some canned sheep brains for $35? Canned
seriously.
Sheep brains.
Seriously, it was
really?
Like a bucket, you know, like a silver
there was
bucket.
A picture.
Yes, there was. It was like a bucket. It was like a silver bucket that you know, milk cows with.
Boy.
And it had a little lid on it, and it was apparently full of sheep brains. I have no idea, but that's nasty. Okay.
Oy vey. Yeah, very.
Ew, poor sheep. Okay, got it.
$35. All right, next one, yeah. Next one, feeling down. Well, you could have bought a bag full of laughs. Yes, an actual bag. No idea what's in it, but it sold for $15.50. Guess you guys won't be having a bag full of laughs.
See, you don't need to do that.
You don't need to do that. Yeah.
Come on the show and get all
exactly.
your laughs for free because, you know.
Exactly.
That's just kind of how we roll. Okay.
That's how we roll. I'm next. Next. Okay, not sure why someone would want this, but a machine that makes you nauseous for $39.99. Is this something that they invented or something? I never heard of that.
Yeah, it looks like somebody invented it in their garage. What they do, I have absolutely no idea. It looked like a mini spaceship. It was kind of weird looking. That's why it caught my attention. So, yeah, I know. So, anyways, basically what you're supposed to do is put this near whoever you want to get nauseous. So they were joking around about putting it in your boss's office and hiding it, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, a neighbor you don't like, putting it outside their bedroom window, things like that. And basically it gives you a nauseous feeling. So I'm sure there's some mechanical reason as to how that happens. I'm not ready to figure that part out.
Yeah, we don't know.
All I know is that, you know, that's not very nice. Okay.
Not nice. Yeah, not nice.
After all that, it's not very nice.
It's not very nice. But I think it's pretty cool that they invented something like that. I think
well,
that's kind of
crazy.
Well,
you know, I think that they should, you know, use their invention skills for something that's a little nicer, maybe.
Yeah, right? They must have good invention skills, though. So next one, an egg with no shell. That's right, a fresh egg that was laid without a shell. careful not to squeeze it too hard. Oh, that's funny, too. This was sold for $25.
Yeah, I have my moment. So, seriously.
I crack myself up.
They had it next to another egg, and you could see the egg with the shell, and the other one was just kind of, like, yellowish. And, so supposedly it was laid with no shell, and it's, you know, squishy but yet not broken. I have no idea.
I don't want to know. Sounds interesting. Next one. Wow, talk about people buying anything. Someone sold their shadow.
Yeah.
For $5.70. I have to know how that got shipped. I need to know.
I don't understand.
I have to know.
So someone paid money for somebody else's shadow.
Oh.
How they were to receive that, I have no idea. But I don't know. It just goes to prove people buy anything. I have no idea.
I don't know if it's weird or not, but I, like, just want to know, you know, the size of the box. Small box. These are things that haunt me at night. These are things that I need to know.
Josie, you crack me up.
This will haunt me.
It will. You'll
I need to know.
You'll be thinking about that all night now. I know you
I
will.
Need, yeah.
Do they fold it up?
No, exactly.
I know.
That's what I
your mind is going already.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that happens.
You are a funny girl.
Next one. Thank you. Next one. How about a jar of dirt? Oh, too bad. Already sold for $20.45. You know what? That's a ripoff. $20.45. I would seriously go in my backyard, dig up some dirt, and put it in a jar. Seriously, who's with me? Seriously.
Okay, I'll dig it up with you.
Seriously, thank you. You grab the shovel.
I might break a nail. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah,
okay,
we'll have to talk
you.
About that. Yeah, no problem. Next one. Ooh, I want this. A little hamster on a little bicycle sold for $31.
Oh, it was so cute.
You see a picture?
Yeah. He was holding on to this little bicycle handle, and his little hamster butt was on the seat.
That's so
his little
cute.
Hamster feet were on the pedals. Oh, I wanted
it.
Who
bought it?
Oh, it was already
sold. Wait, it sold?
It's
sold for $31.
For only $31? Seriously? I would have paid more for that. That was just
seriously.
Really cute. Yeah,
that's
he was
cute.
So cute. I just wanted to squeeze him. Okay.
I just wanted to squeeze him.
Which probably wouldn't be a good idea.
That wouldn't have been a good idea, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You never know. This hamster could have had a weak stomach. Okay, so next one. This made my producer, Tina, hola. You laughed so hard with this one.
I did.
How about a two-seater used outhouse? The only bid was $9.99. And it didn't meet the minimum, so that might mean it's still for sale. All right, Mom, go bet on it. No, you want to.
Okay. I have no idea why I want this so bad. It's so disgusting.
After the show, I'll give you my computer. Okay.
But I so do.
All right.
So I got to see if it's still available. Okay, to me why an outhouse would be a two-seater. I mean, ew. I mean, what, are you going to go in there and do potty with somebody else?
Never good when there's, you know, a two-seater. Really.
I don't understand that. That's kind of...
All right, the next one.
I just got to see it.
Oh, boy. My mom wants to see it. Okay, next one is a bowl in style. How about a bowling ball with a skull in it? Sold for $25. Please tell me this isn't a real skull.
I don't even know. I don't even know. So,
oh, please.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Ah.
All righty. Well, moving on.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Don't want to know.
Let's just move on.
Scares me.
Okay.
Fastly move on. Okay, so a dandelion with a smiley face in the middle for $5.50. That is good luck right there if you find that.
It was cute because it had all the white inside and then, like, the green little parts.
Aww.
They're, like, little green parts inside were in the shape of a smiley. It was really
cute. Oh, my
gosh.
That
is
the coolest.
I know. That is someone painted and I just, you know. Fell for it, but whatever, it was really cute.
A green Sharpie.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Extra strength. Okay, so next one. Next one. A paint chip shaped like an alien for $30.99. Hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was
kind
of strange looking. Okay.
Hmm. Next one.
I love this. I want one of these.
You want this?
I so want this.
Oh, boy.
I do.
All right, so a fish tank toilet with live fish swimming around in the tank part of the toilet. You can use a potty. I could tell this was your writing. You can use the potty with a bunch of fish watching you. Oh, that's so cool.
Oh,
might scare him, actually.
Oh, no. could you imagine sitting there in the middle of the night and this fish is just
someone's coming around.
Do your thing.
That's
I don't really know. But okay, I just thought it was cool.
Yeah, apparently.
And it was pretty.
Can,
I mean, seriously,
yeah.
It looked pretty. It really did.
Yeah, you can use the potty with a bunch of fish watching you for only $67.55. If you were quick enough for this auction.
Yeah, I wasn't quick enough, which is unfortunate.
Sold.
I'd have to have somebody make it special.
That stinks.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure someone would make one special. Maybe a little Your Time with Josie
thing
on
the side. All right, so if anybody's listening and you have the skills to make this, please make it and send me one of these fish toilets because I want it really bad.
With Your Time with Josie, please. I mean, The Josie Show. I can never get used to this new name.
The Josie
Seriously.
Show.
The Josie Show. Painting on it, perfect.
Alan in the chat room said, can you put a piranha in it? Well, yeah, I guess you could. Depends on what you're into. Okay.
Whatever your preferences
Whatever
are.
You like. I was thinking some people like that. You make potty, but, you know, hey.
You're thinking about something that'll bite you. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Next one. Oh, this is so sad looking. A small fairy carcass for $102.50. I don't know what's more interesting. A small fairy or the carcass. I don't know.
I'm sure it's something that somebody put together.
Hopefully.
And you know, well, because I doubt there's real fairies, but what do I know?
I would love a real fairy.
I would. Oh, yeah, I know. It was.
I know.
It was cute. But it was just sad looking because it was just a carcass, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sure
oh, man.
It seemed like something somebody put together with, like, paper mache and then made it kind of look like all
Aww.
Old and dirty and whatever. So I'm sure that it wasn't real.
It was a real small fairy.
But it was just, it really was a cute little thing. Okay,
Aww.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Next one. Okay. And finally, how about some really used flip-flops this summer with holes all over them? Woohoo! Sorry. Already sold for $102.50.
Okay, seriously?
They have holes in them.
Someone
like, seriously.
Bought, you should have seen these things. The
you know what? That's
that
a safety.
In.
That's a safety hazard.
Okay. Mm. They were, like, worn down, ripped, edges off, holes in the heels. I mean, they weren't even attractive looking ones to begin with. So, someone bought them for $102. Seriously? You can get
right.
some real nice brand name, brand new
brand
ones
name,
for,
brand
like,
name.
You know, $90. So, really,
Mm-mm.
people, come on, you're killing me. Okay.
Inflation, okay.
Yep. All right, so now we got some exciting news here.
Oh, yes.
And some upcoming guests. All right, so I'm going to let you get to that. Thank
Thanks
you for
so
letting
much.
Me have some eBay fun.
Anytime. You know we love having you.
Woo-hoo.
eBay funness
love
stuff.
Being here.
Yeah. It's your favorite segment, everyone. Next, a former guest, Skylar Jett, is a great humanitarian. Go to SkylarJett.com and look at his project Around Music Can Save the World. So check that out. Skylar Jett's just a friend of us, friend of ours. Love it. I better hurry because we only have 8 minutes or else we're going to get the boot. So upcoming guests, April 22nd, we have musician and recording artist Graham Colton, who you all know for his song Best Days featured on American Idol. April 22nd, Graham Colton. On the 29th, we have our first show with 3 guests. That'll be a wild show, so tune in. We have amazing songwriter Ben Crane with Nashville, California. Then we have country artist Madonna Nash. And then we bring back past guest Skylar to tell us about his new release coming up. So very excited to catch up with Skylar and meet our 2 amazing guests that are coming up on the 29th. Then May 6th, we have country music artist Cody Prevost, and we will have a signed CD giveaway that night from Cody. Woo-hoo, so excited. Love giveaways. Next, on May 13th, we have rescheduled Australian country music artist Diana Corcoran and country singer Corey Sims. So check that out. Then also May 27th, we have singer Jermaine Kelly. So check that all out. We have amazing guests coming up. So, yes. So make sure you guys tune in. Also, you can check out all of these upcoming guests on our website, such as their bio, picture, and etc. And a video clip at josieshow.com, our website. Also, check out our sponsors tab on our website. It's new. Lots of new sponsors being added. Email us at tina@josieshow.com for details on how you can get added to our sponsor page if you have a business, etc., or you're an artist. Also, remember our 24-hour contact line. Call us, leave a message that we can play on the air. You know, pre-taped questions for the guests that we have, et cetera, et cetera. And shout-outs are also welcome and birthday messages. Join our forums. We're almost at 200 guests last time I checked, so you guys got to check that out. Add us, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very cool. We always have fun things that we always say. Also, remember, you can get archive shows on our website, YouTube, iTunes, and Zune. We all have links on our website, so just check out our whole website, links front to back. Check it all out. You'll see some new stuff on there. Also, check out our Facebook and Twitter pages under our new name, The Josie Show, on Facebook. In the search engine, search button there on Facebook, I'm talking like really fast, apologize, The Josie Show. And then it should pop up. Also, Twitter, twitter.com/Josie Show. Ooh, brain freeze. So this was our 75th episode. So, woo, everyone. So thanks to everyone for tuning in tonight to make our show so much fun. Have a great weekend. We will talk with you next week. Remember, tune in next week for musician and recording artist Graham Colton. I believe he's going to talk to us from backstage at one of his performances. So very, very excited about that. So thanks, everyone. Episode 75. Great. Grit. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show, and see you guys all next week with Graham Colton. Adios. Bye.